and you're very welcome along to today's edition of Family.ie. I'm Ronan Johnston, and this is episode 2 in our series titled Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? Last time we heard from a number of couples who married cross-culturally. Some are from the north and south of Ireland, while others were born in different parts of the world entirely, but now call Ireland home. Let's hear a few highlights of those conversations.
You know, we came from completely different backgrounds. Difference even of approach, you know, to even child rearing.
Irish are very proud of the Irish language, and Lithuanians are very proud of Lithuanian language. I'm quite happy that, like, my daughter in school, she's learning Irish, she's doing higher level. They can know Lithuanian, they can know a bit Dutch and English. And
when you go out, you speak to someone, they say, oh, you speak very good English. So I keep wondering, what's wrong? Is something wrong? We speak English in Nigeria. So it was difficult for me to adjust to any of them. So I kind of like stayed on my own, shied away kind of in Ireland here, yeah.
It was probably harder for them because I was this northerner coming down. I think your mum used to think I would leave you. Do you remember she used to be worried I would leave you?
This is Family.ie. Coming up after this quick break, we'll hear from two more couples who've married across ethno-cultural lines. But in each of these situations, one of the spouses is ethnically Irish. They'll share some of the issues that have been unique to them, as well as some of the more real-world advice for couples thinking of marrying across cultures. In the meantime, you'll find more information about this series, Marriage in Ireland, today, more challenging or more exciting, at family.ie. Again, that's www.family.ie. Welcome once again to Family.ie. Before the break, we heard from a variety of couples who married across different cultural backgrounds. Half the couples were from both sides of Ireland, while the others were from different parts of the world. Now though, let's meet some more individuals who have married across ethno-cultural lines. As we've heard already, the blend of cultures can be both a blessing and a challenge at times. The difference with these couples, though, is that one of the partners in each situation is originally from Ireland.
My name is Arthur Shardall. Originally, I come from a beautiful land called Tipperary.
My name is Christine, and originally I come from Latvia. I've been married for 2 months.
How we met? Okay, I think my wife is still, she's still working through her forgiveness issues, but okay. I know, I was in church one day and I spotted this beautiful woman sitting on her own. So I went over and I said to her, hello, I says, I'm Arthur, what's your name? She gave me her beautiful smile and she said, my name's Christine. And I said, good, said Christine, where are you from? And she said, I'm from Latvia. And I says, in Latvia? I says, okay, I says, can you speak English? Of course, Christine is quite good English, but I just played along. And she says, she looks at me and she says, yes, I can speak English. Pretended to be a bit puzzled. And I says, sorry, no, I says, I'm English. Sorry, I says, can you speak English? I said. She looked at me like I was a bit mad. She said to me, yes, I've English. Yes, I can speak English. No, sorry, English. I said, sorry, can you understand? Sorry, can you speak English? She's looking at me like I'm crazy. So I did this a couple of times anyway, and eventually I just broke down laughing. But she's forgiven me now in a way.
It took me a while, yeah. He was a good laugh, and he was a good guy. So yeah, our friendship started, like our relationship started very slowly, and we became very, very good friends, so... Yeah.
I suppose it's a friendship, a good deep friendship that just grew and grew. And I suppose at the end of that time, I suppose we both knew that it was going to work. We were going to go into this, we were going to go into it full-heartedly.
We were dating for a year before we got engaged, yeah.
We were engaged, I should say, for about 6 months before we got married, yeah.
I didn't have massive culture shock when I came here. It just was a natural flow. I think Latvians are very much conscious of other people's space, that they don't make much noise. Like, they usually are on the quiet side, like... Most of us in Latvia would have grown up in kind of big apartment blocks where you can hear if you speak louder or if your neighbors speak louder. And if you go quiet, you can hear every single word they say pretty much. And so coming here, I know Irish people, most of them would have grown up in kind of in their family homes where you can be loud as you want to. And kind of you don't have to be that conscious of other people's space. So I think that has been one of the biggest differences.
I suppose, I'm guessing that Latvia, I suppose... You know, in the past was kind of enslaved by different nations, you know what I mean? So maybe her sense of adventure comes from her desire to break out. So that kind of suits me well because I like life, I like adventure, so.
And I think we all are on the journey. I think we go through experiences and we change as people as well.
Maybe it wasn't that I didn't know things about Christine, But those things about myself, I suppose, I didn't know. Those things maybe about myself that I realised that, do I really act like that? Do I really do these things? I wouldn't like to call myself selfish, but there are sides of myself that I suddenly realise that, am I really like that? So it's just a bit of an eye-opener, I suppose. Now there's somebody that actually kind of, with whom I actually realise what kind of a person I am, so.
Oh, he's a very good man.
I suppose to understand that, I suppose from my own point of view, that my culture has put upon me certain ideas as the way things should be done. I suppose to understand not just the other person, but to understand the culture from where they're coming, simply because that'll give you a better idea of the expectations of that other person. You can't really discuss expectations and how to handle them. You just have to understand where they're coming from.
Maybe visiting the other person's country can help. Like, especially if it's an Irish person and somebody from overseas, like, just going in and seeing the country and seeing the way people live can be an eye-opener as well. Like, okay, that's where you're coming from. That's why you do that. I think that helped as well.
It's like when we're walking down the street together, if I've got my arm around Christine's waist and she's got her arm around mine, that if we're walking to the common step, if we're walking in the same step, if our steps are matched, it's very easy to walk. But if we're walking out of step, it's very hard to walk. So I suppose from the point of view of having a common foundation, that we're both look to Jesus as the one person that we love with all our hearts, and whatever's left over, we love each other. Because if we don't have a common foundation that can't be shaken, we know ourselves as a couple could easily be shaken.
Oh, we have a good role. We try to not go to sleep while being angry with one another. If we have had some kind of disagreement, we have made it a rule that it has to be sorted out before we go to sleep. That's why I'm so sleepy today. Oh,
I haven't slept. I don't know. I'm telling you now. Oh, it's just coffee's my only hope.
My name is Farad. I'm from France with an Arabic background, and I'm living in Ireland now.
I'm Fiona, originally from Kerry, living in Cork for the last probably 13, 14 years.
We've been married 13 years now. I met Fiona first, you know, but we're living in France.
I was teaching English in an engineering school in France, and Farid was one of my students in my class.
She was the English teacher, so there was nothing really. She was just there, part of the job and all that. It's only later on after Christmas that something started to grow. We started to know each other more, and I remember February when she went back from France, went back to Ireland, I noticed that I started to miss her. And I think slowly from there it started, really.
Slowly. Definitely slowly.
Yeah, slowly, yeah.
That's really funny, because I suppose when I met Farid first, it was in a very professional capacity, and so therefore there was that professional distance between us. And I found him very serious, and I suppose I used the term once in describing him that he was a bit boring. What changed for me was, yeah, he was funny and he was engaging and he was a very different person than I initially saw, but it was his integrity that really drew me to him. We were dating from the 31st of March up until the June of the following year. So that's, what, about 14 months?
But I think even before that, the 31st of March was the first kiss. But a month before that, I remember we had even walked and held hands. So it was just this full month of kind of a what we call romance. And then the first kiss, like, so it was very like nice and slow. It was really nice. If I could change something in the back, it's getting married way sooner. And when we prayed, we came to Cork. Again, I have to say I fit in straight away. I really thank God for that, because yeah, my English wasn't great there yet, but like still, it was no problem. Like I could get the way of living, the sense of humor. It was really no problem. Like literally, I felt home very quickly, actually.
In my side, it was different in that Farid comes from a Muslim background. I would have not understood that culture very well before meeting Farid. And I suppose there were aspects of it that might have gone against what I grew up with, or that I would have assumed went against what I grew up with. But actually, being part of Farid's family was very easy for me. I was very blessed in that sense. But also, there were aspects of it that I suppose I kind of struggled with. There is also an understanding from each other that, you know what, we have the opportunity to create our own cultural environment and our own traditions within our family, because we come from two different cultures. We can start something new together.
I think the most important is really to cultivate your relationship with God. I think if you really work on that, the rest will fall in naturally. And sometimes, because of the way with family and kids and that, you might put that on the side or you forget it. And if you look back, if something wasn't working well, you can see that, yeah, that's the reason why, because he wasn't first.
And I would say there's two things that I would do. I think Fred and I started a pre-marriage course, and I would say that that's definitely something that would have benefited us to do a full pre-marriage course and, I suppose, discuss all of the potential issues that can come up. So I would recommend that for everybody getting married. It should be mandatory. And I suppose the other thing is that Farid, as I said before, was from a Muslim background, but he came to know Christ in his own very real and personal way before we got married. But because that only came into our relationship afterwards, I don't think that we developed a pattern of praying together and studying the word together. And so that's something that we've had to develop over the years. And I have come to have a huge amount of respect for the way they do things and how important family is and how closely knit the community is. And I think Farid taught me that. He talked an awful lot about his culture. And I would recommend people, if you're marrying into a different culture, share your culture with each other. Be open to learning about the other person's culture. Be open to bringing parts of their culture into your life together. And I would just say, remember that marriage can be fun. You know, you've decided to spend your life with this person. It's not a sentence. It should be fun. Mm. And remember that fun. And I think one thing that Farid said, sometimes he does that for me. You know, if we've come through maybe a difficult time or a time where we're both really busy and we haven't seen each other very much, and when we do see each other, it's kind of fraught with tension or snappiness, or sometimes he'll say, do you remember when we met first? And he'll describe a particular moment to me, or he'll bring me back in my mind to a time or a place. And I can just feel myself smiling when he starts doing it. And it brings us back to that beginning of, you know why I fell in love with you? And he'll name the things that he saw in me back then. And then it'll remind me to cultivate those things, because that's who he fell in love with. And of course we change, and of course we adapt, and of course time changes us. But the qualities that drew us to the person should never go away.
That's a great piece of advice, and something for us all to practice if we're not doing that already. You're listening to Family.ie. I think what we've heard so far is that cross-cultural marriage can bring additional challenges, but with work, they can certainly bring an added depth and richness to both families. It's probably safe to say that no marriage is easy, but the thought of marrying cross-culturally in Ireland wasn't always as readily embraced as it is today. Right after this final break, we'll hear from three wedding solemnisers from three different denominational backgrounds. They'll give us an overview of the history and present-day reality of both cross-cultural and cross-denominational marriages. By the way, we'd love to hear from you. Our text comment line is 086-251-6886, or email us anytime, radio@family.ie. And stay tuned for the final segment of today's programme in just a moment. Again, contact us via text at 086-251-6886 or radio@family.ie. Welcome to the final segment of today's edition of Family.ie. Today we've been considering the realities of cross-cultural marriages in Ireland. We've heard firsthand from couples of various combinations, some who've married from different parts of Ireland, some of the new Irish who were born in different countries but now consider Ireland home, and couples in which one partner is ethnically Irish and the other partner is from another part of the world. We can certainly see that Ireland has changed in recent years, but the change certainly wasn't instantaneous. Let's get an overview of the history of cross-cultural marriages. It'd also be good to take a look at some of the present-day realities and considerations.
My name is Kevin Fitzgibbon. I'm a Limerick man. I'm pastor of Abundant Life Christian Church here in Limerick, with 25-plus different nationalities attending. So it's quite a diverse congregation.
In your experience, Kevin, how widespread are cross-cultural marriages in Ireland?
It's something that is growing in our nation. We find it's growing in the church as well. Obviously, with 25 different nationalities, somebody's bound to get lucky and or get blessed, and meet somebody that God is obviously involved in, that they feel this person is the right person to live for the rest of their lives. It's looking back in our congregation, I would say there could be nearly 20% in the last few years of our congregation, of our married couples, are cross-cultural. Some of it has happened elsewhere. Other times I've actually married the folks or been the officiate in that. So, it's certainly a new thing for Ireland. I think it's a healthy thing. I think it's a growing thing, and I think it's going to continue to happen.
Presumably with cross-cultural couples, they have to make maybe more adjustments than if you're marrying within your own ethnic group, if you know what I mean. Would that be your experience?
Definitely. That would be an obvious conclusion. And it would be one that I would work from if I'm dealing with the couples. I would particularly emphasize that. We do a marriage preparation course here, so I would do it with them. And a lot of the issues that need to be worked on are highlighted almost immediately when you look at their background, when you look at their religious background, even their income, because quite often some of the couples that are some of the individuals that come from other countries maybe are looking for status in this country. Therefore, there's that sense that maybe there's no income. Some of them maybe earn 19 euro, and maybe the person that's from a different nation has a job here. So that's just looking at that scenario alone is huge, and there are issues involved in that in terms of confidence, self-esteem, because if you're not working or not allowed to work, that puts a whole different scenario on it. Other issues of compatibility, of planning ahead, what do we want for our careers in terms of children, how many children, or do we want children at the end of the day, where are we going to live, if there's two different cultures involved, well then are we going to move from where we are, where's our future going to be? Those are major issues.
The cultures, do they sit together, and when people get married do they end up having good marriages? Are they able to sustain a strong and healthy marriage if they come from quite diverse backgrounds?
Yeah, I mean, some of the couples that have cross-cultural marriages in our church, they're young couples. It's probably early days to take an overall judgment on that, but they seem to be very happy at the moment. Cross-cultural marriage, it can be difficult to get to know the family, and we would encourage that. Get to know this person's mum and dad if they're still alive, brothers and sisters, aunts. Because you're kind of marrying into a family, a different culture, and that can be difficult if somebody is living in Africa. How are you going to meet their relatives and everything? Mm-hmm. Skype, maybe, yeah. But you really need to go live with them for a little bit. You know, take a holiday there or something. We would encourage that. But yeah, I mean, in general, the cross-cultural marriages seem to be growing, thriving, happy out. Some cultures are much stronger than I guess all cultures are strong, but some cultures bring, I would notice, we'll say from the African culture, from the Far East culture, they bring excellent culture benefits, but they also bring quite a different lifestyle to what we live here in Ireland. And some of our Irish folks have gotten married into these cultures, and it's quite a change. It's quite, wow, you know, the Eastern would be very principled. We would see, I don't want to sort of just put a label over everybody, but there would be quite a strong desire for education, quite a strong desire for a principled life. There would be a lot of thinking through of things, whereas probably more in the Irish culture, we'd be a little bit more laid back. Education would be important, but it wouldn't be as strong as maybe the Eastern culture. You'd have the same with the African culture. Can be, you know, almost out there, community is quite strong. They come over here and it doesn't necessarily have to. They hang around with their own friends. They bring their own culture. Quite often, it can be a sort of a male dominant marriage setup, and they would probably find some of our teaching even here in the church sort of cutting it. Whereas we would encourage a reigning together in that situation, that the husband and wife would reign, just as Adam and Eve was blessed and commanded to do in the early days. We would sort of feel that redemption brings that, But yet there's order in the household, yet we would encourage, wives to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord, and husbands to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And we would probably emphasize that more. And try and work out practicals on that as well. But you don't necessarily get that. Some people are stronger on those issues than others. So you have to work with the individuals themselves, because they have their own flavor and have picked up. And some are very adjustable. Some are very flexible.
You know, the story that's told in weddings, and it comes from the Bible, that the two become one, that's probably a bigger challenge, but can be done if they really work at it. And for two to become one in marriage, it requires quite a bit of effort, doesn't it?
There's a lot of compromise. And it depends, I think it depends on which culture. Obviously, both cultures are strong, but if you're living in the culture, like if I was living in Nigeria, I would sort of feel I would have to do a lot of adjusting, because you're not going to change a culture. So you're living like the parents, the children, the interaction, unless you're a culture within a culture, like the Irish in America, might all go to the Irish pub and become, their only friends are mainly Irish. And in a sense, that cross-cultural marriage, that doesn't kind of work. You're sort of pulling one person in one area. Both cultures have a lot to give. Certainly the African culture have a lot to give us here. And so have other cultures, Polish or Far Eastern cultures. So we just learn from one another. You need an attitude of learning, an attitude of listening, and just a flexibility, definitely. But I think the people who enter into cross-cultural marriages, certainly some of the Irish people that have here, definitely have been very flexible. They know it isn't just a marriage desire. It's something that they relate well with other cultures.
You've been listening to Family.ie, and this has been episode 2 of our series, Marriage in Ireland Today. More challenging or more exciting? Tune in next time as we consider some more of the potential challenges for marriages in Ireland today.
I think marriage is kind of an old thing. It was earlier just to have one partner the whole life, but I think it's all right to live together and be happy.
Some say, in the negative sense, is divorce is expensive. And if you get divorced, usually the men feel that they get the bad end of the deal. But I think underneath some of those things is there's some difference in, even though marriage is just looks like a formal thing that they make a vow and they promise to each other, it seems to be a change from living together when people make that commitment.
Perhaps people don't reflect sufficiently that what greater gift could you be given than a person giving them the gift of themselves to you for life? Think about those, and perhaps it raises the whole thing of people preparing for marriage to really understand, to make sure that when they have the wedding ceremony, they understand the significance of those words. Wow, isn't that worth celebrating?
It promises to be another interesting look at the realities of 21st century marriage in Ireland, so we hope you'll join us right here. And we think you'll find our website has loads of resources that could be of help to you no matter what your situation. Single, married, separated, divorced, stop by www.family.ie today. You'll also find links to follow us on both Facebook and Twitter. So until next time, on behalf of Stephen Carty, Roger Bassick, and Anne-Marie Miles, I'm Ronan Johnston. We'd like to sincerely thank all of the couples and contributors to today's programme, and we thank you for listening. Slán agus beannacht libh go léir. Family.ie. Helping families thrive.